It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of John, John chapter 20, as we continue the study. We are John chapter 20. Begin to read with verse 26 through the end of the chapter, verse 31. John chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 26. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, I'd love to give you the mailing address, Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Please feel free to get a hold of us, contact us, that we may hear from you. Love to hear that you've just come to know the Lord Jesus, or that you are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying each and every day as a believer. Now that you have found the book John, John chapter 20, we're going to begin reading with verse 26. John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we have an opportunity to come today and to enjoy this precious time together. It is always wonderful to be able to open your precious word, to study it, to enjoy it. Please, Lord, help us today to seek your will and way and not our own. Today it's so easy for us to move away and to begin to put our own little spin to it. I ask that we just carefully and prayerfully leave your word alone and have our heart changed instead of trying to change you, Father. Guide and lead us now as we study your word. We look once again at this man named Thomas. Help us to see how we would be applied, how we would be like Thomas, how maybe we are like Thomas. Help us to be not faithless, as the scripture calls him. Be not faithless, but believing. Help us to believe today. Help us to follow your way and will for our lives. Now guide and lead us, Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue as we look through these verses of Scripture. Last time we were together, and we begin the study very quickly. We don't waste much time. We go back to the verse of Scripture in verse 25. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now that's quite a statement that Thomas is making. That's after his fellow disciples, his friends that he has known for this period of time, has testified, We have seen the Lord. That wasn't enough for Thomas. Now, it's sad to say when you go and would share the gospel with someone and tell them how wonderful Jesus is and what he means to you, and he lives in your heart, and they kind of just look at you, or they kind of think, What are you talking about? And they will not come. Please, that we proclaim the word will convict your heart, and you will come to know Jesus Christ, and you'll begin to testify in his name and tell folks what it means to be a believer and to be saved. Please, that we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our life eternal and our daily life, our daily living. Here we find that Thomas, once again, he wants proof. He said, unless I can put my finger into that nail hole in your hand, and unless I can thrust my side, my fist, into your side, then I'm not going to believe. Now, that's very sad, because we find that there are others. And let's look to the scripture. If we look to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll go to verse 42, Matthew 27, verse 42, we'll find others that seem to sound an awful lot like Thomas. Now, Thomas, as the other 11, are believers. Judas was the only one that was not a believer. And so we know him to be a believer, and yet he didn't believe. He didn't believe in the resurrection. You see, this is all new to them. We have the wonderful word. We have the witness and the testimony of all these folks to tell us that Jesus is alive. Thomas had the same, but he just didn't want to believe it. Did he witness Jesus dying on the cross? Was he close enough by that they saw what happened to him? And you see, they just couldn't understand how that someone could be in the grave. Again, not just one night. Not two, but 3 days and three nights was he gone. He was in the grave without a question. He was dead, and it was over. It was finished as far as Thomas was concerned. We find here in Matthew 27, verse 42, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. It kind of sounds like Thomas, doesn't it? And that's as they were at the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ was dying. And they said, you know, if he be God, then I'll believe. If he'll do this, you know. Is that the way you're bargaining with your soul? If God will do this, prove himself in this way, then I will come and be saved. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ today, by faith. Trust these words that you're reading in your Bible. I hope that you have a King James Bible in front of you. If you don't, please get one. You know, you can spend an awful lot of money for a beautiful leather-bound Bible, or you can spend just a few dollars. And matter of fact, we give a Bible to anyone that does not have a Bible, and we want everyone to have the Word. Believe here that the King James is the closest to the truth, and please that you stay, and I stay with the old King James. None of it is changed, because I believe it to be clearer. And if you say, well, I don't understand it, it's because you're trying to read it like a novel. It is God's Word. Spend time in it, and you will find it very easy to read. So please that you enjoy reading the words. But isn't it something here that this man at the cross of Christ, at the cross at Calvary, said, you know, okay, do this, then I will believe. And see, always someone is wanting something else to see. Then they say they'll believe. I'm asking today, God's Word is true. God's Word is real. It's being proclaimed to you. Come by faith to Him, and please be saved. I want you to show you another verse of Scripture, and we find something that kind of takes place in a person's life if you allow that doubt to begin and to grow. And you'll find that back in Deuteronomy. And when I looked up this cross-reference, I wanted to read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8. If you'll notice, we spend all of our time in the Word, verse by verse, word by word, that we know God's way, we know God's will, and that's the only way it's to be. Folks today try to spend hours and hours and hours and hours in preparing a message, and what they do is take the Word of God and try to convert it into what they think is right. Just read the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit speak for him, speak to you. Let the Word speak for itself. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. What happens when we find someone that begins to not believe? Did Thomas hear Didymus? Did he have any reaction to the people that were around him? We're not really told whether when Thomas was spoken to in verse 20 in earlier verses, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except." He wanted more proof, didn't he? He was a skeptic. He did not believe in the resurrection because he just couldn't see. He couldn't figure out how it could be. And maybe that's you today. You can't believe how Jesus could die on the cross of Calvary and take your sin away. But it's true. Please believe it. Begin to walk with the Lord Jesus. And once you have come by faith to Jesus, you will understand what I'm saying because you'll know it in your heart. Now, Thomas, if he would have stayed in this condition much longer, he probably would have started to take others with him, because that's what that kind of a negative attitude will do. If you begin to distrust and not believe, you don't just kind of go on your way. What you do is begin to try to find support for your ideas and your principles. Thomas here probably would have done the same thing. He would have said in the book of John here, Thomas would have come up with someone. He would have searched out Peter or John or one of the other disciples and started to say, "You don't believe this, do you?" But you see, something else has taken place. Very thankful Thomas is still here, because in verse 26, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." If you look back to the 19th verse, same words that Jesus spoke when he was there the week before, "Peace be unto you." Now it says 8 days. Now you'll know in the scripture that they count the day. You know, we would say, you know, next Sunday or next Saturday or next Monday or whatever day. And here it quotes in 8 days. And if you count the day that he is speaking, in other words, the first day of the week, and we know that by the 19th, and from that day you will count 8 days, counting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You have 8 days. Most believe that it's returned once again to Sunday, that he met once again with them on the first day of the week. Not only did he come out of the grave alive on the first day of the week, Sunday, and we have talked about that, how that we celebrate the finished work of redemption on Sunday. We come together, rejoice because Jesus Christ has died on the cross and taken my sin away. But I believe that he also returned a week later and come once again on Sunday. It doesn't make any mention that he was seen by any of his disciples, Thomas or otherwise, during that week's time. Before, he was with the disciples continuously as he was teaching them and spending time with them. But you see, this time it was a long time. Things have changed. Jesus no longer has his earthly body. He now has his glorified body, as we will. We will have a glorified body. But be sure to see that this body was a body that they still recognized. And he still had the nail scars in his hand, and his side was pierced. We have the speaking here of what Thomas is asking for, and then is what we have read. Jesus tells him to reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. He tells him, and it's clear, as the disciples saw him, Jesus spoke to them again up in the verse of 20, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And so we find a rejoicing 10 and probably a sad one, because Thomas, for whatever reason, whatever excuse, he wasn't there. We've talked about that. Please get rid of the excuses. Get rid of the reasons for why that you are not in Bible study. Whatever you can do to get there, to be under the Word, the Lord will bless you. He'll give you His power and strength as a believer if you know Jesus. If you don't, keep coming, because you'll get saved. The Lord Jesus, through His Word, will convict your heart and bring you to Him. We find here that the Lord Jesus had been several days, and according to this, it is, I believe, to be a week, I think, from Sunday to Sunday. And as we were together in the 26th verse, Thomas is there this time. He didn't miss it again. Thomas is with them, the 26th verse says. Then came Jesus. We had the same thing, the doors being shut, stood in the midst. Now, up above in the 19th verse, it says, for fear of the Jews. That is not relisted here, but it's probably the same situation. They come, they shut the doors. It was kind of in hiding because of what was still going on. And we know that the activities, the Jews sought after them. They did not want in any way. You know, we have enjoyed as we look at this time at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and now a week later he comes and shows himself again on Sunday, the same day. And so we have activities with the Jews that are just coming to a close, because you see, at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, we're in the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then we have the Feast of the First Fruits. All those things are things that the Jews are continuing to celebrate. You know, the whole world didn't stop and stare at the cross of Calvary. There were a multitude, I believe, went out to watch him die because they did not like the light that he was shining upon their lives. But a lot of people, their life just continued. And I'm sure the services and things that were going on in the temple, it's the same. The Jews, they didn't change. And so they continued about their way. They're still around. And because of what was going on, and because the body of the Lord Jesus is not in that grave anymore, these disciples could have feared for their life. And so they have kind of stuck together. Thomas, this time, is with them. He wasn't going to miss it this time, was he? You know, Jesus, again, as I said earlier, his ministry has changed. He no longer is in the physical body. He has his glorified body. He no longer has come as the Savior, because that's completed. Now, we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but the work that he had come to earth to do was completed. He could have went home immediately. He could have went right back to his place at the right hand of the Father, but he chose to stay to show multitudes that he is alive, risen from the dead. And here we find one more that's beginning to see the light and beginning to have the faith that God wants us to have, even whether we see or do not see. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came, verse 24. We find in verse 26, then after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, said, peace be unto you, repeated the same. We talked about the Lord Jesus could have stayed, could have went home immediately to his proper place and position. You know, now he is our Savior. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus, but now he becomes to the believer our high priest, because he is making intercession for us. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so now that's the place and the position of the Lord Jesus. But he stayed here for 40 days after the resurrection to give witness, as Thomas needed, as the other disciples needed, to see, to get the beginning, the church started underway. And that, of course, the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost some 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now we look, we find Thomas present. We find the words, "Peace be unto you," the Lord Jesus spoke as he did the first time, "Peace be unto you," as he saw them. We have everyone excited. We have all the disciples, 10 of the disciples, and who knows who else might have been there, but we know that the other 10 were there, and now the 11th, the one that chose not to come the first time. But the 10, they had been joyful all week, even though Jesus had not been present. Where was he? We don't know. But we know that he is teaching these disciples that his work has changed. "I've come to save you. I have died on the cross for that. I have risen from the dead, and that is finished." And he is showing them, "I'm not going to be with you daily," and that's the reason I think we have the time lapse here. And he is beginning to show them that "I'm leaving and be gone. I will see you again. But bodily, I will be gone. I'll send a comforter." We've been through those verses of Scripture, which the comforter is the sweet Holy Spirit. Now, as we look and find that Thomas this time is present, same words come, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, you know, as we look at these verses of Scripture, again, we find them behind shut doors, still in Jerusalem, Thomas present. Jesus did not appear to Thomas at any time prior to that. You know, you would think maybe that, all right, here's one of the believers, wasn't here, let me chase him down, I'll show him. No, he waited. He waited till they were assembled once again, all together, and this time, then he comes to say and to share. You know, Jesus didn't tarry long to come to Thomas that day. Granted, a week has passed. 1 week, Thomas has missed the blessing of knowing the risen Savior is alive, witnessing that, confirming that. Instead of Thomas doing that and enjoying that, he missed it. And you do the same thing when you miss Bible study. When you miss coming into the house of God, you miss opening your Bible every day to enjoy time with the Lord Jesus, you miss it. I can't explain it to you. I can't write down all the things that you've missed, but I promise and guarantee you that you have missed spending some time with the living Savior when you refuse to do that. And I ask that you awaken, and don't let that happen. You never know what wonderful works is going to be performed during a church service, and I'm not talking about someone speaking in tongues. I believe that has been set aside. That was finished back at the beginning of the church, and it was something with the apostles, the laying on of the hands and the special power they were given. That was all for the start of the church. When the Word of God was completed for us, we no longer had need of those special gifts. And yes, someone can be miraculously healed by God's power and strength, but not given through a special man. Yes, if a person is speaking to someone of another language, if God would choose to change my voice to theirs so they could hear the gospel, that can be done. I am not limiting God, but the special gifts that was given to the apostles has basically been set aside. And so now we're here to enjoy the Word of God, to search and study it, and we're to be here to do that. Well, Jesus, we find this one, Thomas, chose not to be there. This time, he was there. Jesus once again come in the midst. Jesus said, "Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." You know, that sounds like some words that Thomas spoke a few days before, doesn't it? Let's go back and see if there's any comparison with the two. We'll find that in verse 25. If you want to look yourself in verse 27 is what I just read. That's what Jesus said to Thomas. Let's listen to see what Thomas said to the other disciples. "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of that nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." How did the Lord Jesus know those words? How did he know the heart of Thomas? Because there isn't anything Jesus doesn't know. Jesus knew exactly what Thomas was thinking, even though he wasn't there. Jesus knew exactly what Thomas said to the other disciples. as he did not believe that Jesus could be alive. He just didn't believe it. Jesus spoke those same words right back. That's what happens to us when we search the Word of God. Things that we are doing that are not pleasing unto the Lord, those words will come right back at us because we are convicted. There's conviction there. Jesus here turned to Thomas, not with a hateful heart. He did not say, "Thomas, get yourself out of this room. You chose not to come the first time. Don't come back." Instead of that, Jesus came to him and handed him the very proof that Thomas asked for. When someone wants to believe, but the dual world is just so much a part of them and they just can't seem like they can cross that line, they just can't quite believe it. And I've had folks that say, "You know, Larry, I wish I could believe. Larry, I wish I could come to Jesus, but I just don't believe it. I just can't believe it." Please, just I beg you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Please give me the faith I need to believe it." And there'll never be a time that he'll turn aside. There'll never be a time that he'll turn you away. He will always open that door and give you that opportunity that you've asked for. Thomas, yes, should have come. Thomas should have been there the first time. Thomas should have believed the report of the others. But all Jesus did when they met, when they finally met 1 week later, Jesus opened the door. He said, "Here, Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." See, that's the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't walk by a blind faith. He gives us strength. He gives us His Word. And I have no question that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. I have no question that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. I have no doubt that He has saved my soul. He has taken my sin away. And He has set me on a road that is set for righteousness, not for the world, but for His righteousness, to give me His power, His strength, and His righteousness, that I may live a life that's pleasing to Him. That's what I know. I know it because I have asked Him into my heart. He has confirmed it by His Word. He has confirmed it by so many things. I don't walk by a blind faith. Jesus Christ is real. And I'm asking you to come by the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him today, and please be saved. Neglect Him no longer. Please come. Jesus quoted Thomas. He quoted right back His words. And He didn't say, "Now, you that have rejected me, you that have stood against me, you that would not believe, here's finally the proof." You know, and we would say it maybe in some tone of hurt or in some arrogant way. Instead of that, the Lord Jesus, "I believe," with the same love that He proclaimed to those ahead. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus wanted Thomas to have the same joy, to have the same happiness. He had missed it for 1 week, and that's, I believe, what happens when you miss a time to be in the house of God. "Oh, do we have to be in church all the time?" No, you don't. But you do miss a blessing when you're not there. And there'll be times that you'll miss that blessing for 1 week. Maybe somebody that you've been praying for to come to church, that was the very week they were there. Where were you? It could be the very week that you were praying for somebody to be saved that had been in church for a long time, and that day after the service, at the close of the preaching of the Word and the singing of the hymns, their heart was convicted and they came down the aisle and were saved, and you missed it. And it was all week long. You didn't show back up. Didn't come Sunday night. Didn't come Wednesday night. You waited for a week, and all of a sudden they met you at the door and they said, "Did you know so-and-so got saved last week?" There was a whole week that if that person would have died, you'd have thought they went to hell. You missed the joy. You missed the joy of hearing words like that. You missed the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ working on your heart, growing you closer to the Lord Jesus. Please, don't be a Thomas. Don't be like he was. And just don't miss it. Jesus didn't condemn him. Jesus just gave him the truth. Says, "Here, Thomas, please, I want you to be as the others. I want you to be happy and joyful and glad. My dear friend, please, what are you going to do about Jesus?